faith reminders. If you don't, I'll get it to you. Faith reminders. Everybody have it? Number one, who can tell me what sentence I want you to read to me out of faith reminders number one? Go ahead, brother. Read it out loud so everybody can hear it.
Sick bodies, sick minds, and poverty are all forms of stealing, and God is not it.
Can I get an amen? I preached last week, and I put this verse of Scripture up, Ephesians 6:16. I put this verse of Scripture up, and I got home, and I don't know if it's the Holy Spirit or if it was just my conscience, but I realized I didn't focus enough on the last part of this verse. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts from God. All the fiery darts from the wicked one, of the wicked one. Everybody see that? I don't care what your theological position is. I don't care what your doctrine is. If you're connected to the living God, do you ever call him the wicked one? No, he's not wicked. He's good. He's love. Sick bodies and sick minds in poverty are from the wicked one. Don't shout me down now. And see, if you don't know that, you won't put your shield of faith up and quench those fiery darts. Amen? I could tell a story. I could spend the rest of the Bible lesson telling a story that happened to me during a meeting I had at tax season, but I don't want to do it. I'll get bogged down in it. Number two, God's love is activated into our lives by grace through faith. Our faith is, here's the sentence, our faith appropriates what God has provided by grace. Say that, everybody. Number three, God has given every born-again believer the measure of faith. The devil has deceived us into thinking our faith is not big enough. The truth is we have mountain-moving-sized faith, and we simply have to use it. Okay, I go to the gas station with my debit card because I'm out of gas. Okay, I'm at the gas station. I'm out of gas. I pull up to the pump with my debit card. If I sit there and stay in my car and wait for gas to get put in my car, how long will I be waiting? Sooner or later, somebody from Fry's is going to ask me to leave. I have to get out of my car. I have to go to the gas pump. I have to insert the debit card, and I have to pump the gas. Jesus is the gas, but you got to pump it. And you cannot believe how mad that has made the general Christian population. You cannot believe how entrenched they are into thinking that God is somehow involved in their bad. I'm listening to Christian music. I'm committing to doing it. But 75 to 80% of the songs give you the impression that everything in your life was all part of God's plan. As long as you believe that, you won't quench all the fiery darts of the... Read it out loud. Let's do it. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which we will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I just don't, for the life of me, I don't understand why that is such a hard truth for people to swallow, but it's because people determine, listen to me very carefully, you might want to write this down, it's because people determine their doctrine by their circumstances. People determine their doctrine, I'm getting this by the Holy Spirit, people determine their doctrine by their circumstances. So if in their life they've experienced something bad, they incorporate that into their doctrine, because God forbid that on any level they would be responsible. Again, that's a hard truth. Almost everything bad that happened in my life was because of something I did. Amen. And some people just don't want to do that, so they create their doctrine based on their circumstance, and they never self-evaluate and determine why it is these things happen. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you know about 1, 2, and 3, you're going to have to deal with unbelief. Now, there's three kinds of unbelief, but before I put the three kinds of unbelief up, I want to put a sentence up. If you want what the people in the Bible got, you have to do what the people in the Bible did. If you want what the people in the Bible got, you have to do what the people in the Bible did. Say it with me, everybody. By the way, this is not original for me. I've heard this before, but I don't know who to give the credit to. So go ahead and say it. So you're going to run into three kinds of unbelief. You're going to run into three kinds. The first thing everybody runs into is lack of knowledge, unbelief. Quickly, what's the cure for lack of knowledge, unbelief?
Knowledge.
By the way, everybody has learned something from somebody. You're a blessed person if you learn something from a Bible-believing Christian, a Bible-believing person. You're not so blessed if you learn something from a heathen. You know, I'm going to give you another reason why we're not liked. I've already told you a couple of them. I'm going to give you another reason why we're not liked. You know who the heathen in your life might be? Somebody closest to you. See, and that's another thing that, you know, people say, my God, you go to his church and he talks bad about my mama. Well, if your mama don't know Jesus, I'm going to talk bad about her. See, that's why you get mad, because people learn something. And God bless you if you had the opportunity to learn something from a genuine, sincere Christian. But most people don't. Okay, so lack of knowledge, unbelief, we all have, and we all go and find knowledge. Number two, wrong doctrine, unbelief. So if you think God gave you a sickness or a calamity or some problem in your family and it was going to be used for his benefit, you have wrong doctrine, unbelief. Amen. And you can't operate real Bible faith, because real Bible faith does what? Like Star Trek, puts the shield up. Scotty, I need the shields up. Get those shields up. But you won't put your shield up if you think God's doing it to you. Can I get an amen? And then the one you're going to have to deal with, because I believe everybody in here believes numbers 1, 2, and 3. I don't think if you did, you'd be back. If you didn't, you'd be back. So I think every one of us believe 1, 2, and 3. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Every one of us is going to have to deal with this thing, the third thing. Natural unbelief. Five physical senses unbelief. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not perceived by the five physical senses. That's what faith is. If you want what the people in the Bible got, you have to do what the people in the Bible did. So let's talk about a dear, precious woman that's known for all of eternity, because she got in the Bible. And she got in the Bible for the right reason. Do you know David got in the Bible for the right reason? And David also happened to get in the Bible for the wrong reason. But this woman got in the Bible for the right reason. We'll start it in Mark chapter 5, verse 25. We'll start here. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Man, she's been suffering a long time. 12 years, a long time. Lucy, you wouldn't want to have that arm hurt you for the next 12 years, would you? You'd get relief. She's a certain woman. She had a flow of blood for 12 years. Verse 26, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She went to the doctor to get better. How many of you think there's anything wrong with that? Absolutely not. A genuine, sincere doctor, I always like to point out the KUKARs on this, are there to help you. Amen. Amen. When Bryant tore his Achilles, or whatever that thing, was it the Achilles?
Twice.
He went over to these people over here, and they fixed him up. If I break an arm, I'm calling a doctor. If I get something wrong with me and the doctor says, we're going to experiment on you, I'm going out the door. I want to know that you have some understanding of why I'm here. I don't want him to say, you know, I've never seen that before. Then I'm going to say, do you know anybody that has? Put me in touch with the person that has. And she had suffered many things from many physicians, and she'd spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. The woman went broke. The woman, here it is. See, I think one of the reasons I people enjoy what we do here is we try to keep it in our vernacular. But she went broke because she spent all of her money on doctors and they couldn't help her. She's busted. What's another word for this lady? I want somebody else to tell me. She's busted. Oh, I just heard it right over here. She's desperate. You know, one of the other reasons why we don't see great success, we don't have a lot of desperate people. Now, I think the longer we live, if I keep hearing about the leadership of our country promoting the sexual change of our children and promoting it as though it's healthy and normal, then I don't know what I'm going to say, except I'm going to keep saying something bad about it. And God bless this hockey player that refused to play a hockey game because he wasn't going to take part in the LGBTQXYZ Pride Month night at the thing. And he said, it's because I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. And what they're doing is not in the Holy Bible. And it doesn't mean I don't love them. It doesn't mean that I don't want to be around them. But it means I'm not going to promote them. Oh, and we don't. Oh, the people in, we're asleep. Don't get asleep at the wheel on this one. We got to sleep on some other things. Let's don't get asleep at the wheel on this one. And I really do believe that the tide's turning a little bit. I really do. You notice I talk about this all the time because I said I'm making a commitment to it. Even if they show up to arrest me, I'm hoping when they find out who I am, they won't. Oh, I didn't know that was you, Mark. But it could be quite possible that I could get handcuffed. And then we'd really find out if y'all like me or not. And I probably would cry. But I am telling you right now, I am not going to let them get away with mutilating our children. And again, if you're 45 years old and you want to go do that, it's dumb, but go do it. We're not against you. You're going to spend the rest of your life regretting it because he made us male and female. But if you're 45 years old and you want to go do that, then go do that. But if you're 11, I got one 22 in Gilbert, and I don't know if she still knows anything. God bless her heart. I'm talking about just general life. She's not silly. But you're going to tell me that if an 11-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 13-year-old or a 9-year-old gets it in their head that they should be a boy because that's what the teacher keeps telling them, yeah, that you're going to stand by and let that happen? No, I'm not. You got to at least reach the age. If you can, when can you drink beer? 21. When can you vote? 18. When can you go into service? 17. Jordan, you're hearing all this? So go on down to the mall and sign up, son. God bless you. I can't keep you in Kit Kats. No, he's buying his own Kit Kats now and his own Gatorade. What clear-thinking person could watch their child be wheeled away to know that their genitals are going to be cut off or their breasts are going to be whatever that word phrase is? What person could watch that go on and not scream and say, get back here? It just tells you the evil heart of man. Don't believe this. There's no reason why people don't like us. This is the name of the sermon, the reason why people don't like us. It's because we refuse to tell people that in our flesh we are, because we continually remind people that in our flesh we are rotten, to include the preacher. If I stood before God, I'll use me for an illustration. If I stood before God unsaved, which I'm not, I'm going to stand before God as a saved child of God, but if I stood before God unsaved, you know what? I'm going to say it a different way. When I stand before God saved, and he says, come on in because you're made in the image and likeness of my son, if he was to put on a screen some of the thoughts I had as a saved person, I would be condemned to hell. I'm trying to make a point here. I would be condemned to hell. You know, Teresa admitted to me yesterday that the maddest she's ever been in her life was at me. She got mad about something, and I said, well, that's the maddest I've ever seen you. She said, oh, no, it isn't. She said, oh, no, it didn't. You don't remember that time on the porch. And then I started thinking about that time on the porch. But anyway, how'd that fit in? It was so good till I got off track on it. I'm a saved person. But I'm telling you, if I was judged on some of the things I thought, oh, you don't want to know about some of the things I've thought. I'm just pointing that out because in our flesh is no good thing. Don't trust it. Amen. And that's the reason why politicians have it all wrong. Don't believe in the goodness of man. Believe in the evil heart of man. Believe in the redemption found in Christ. But make arrangements to counter the evil of mankind. That's what government's supposed to be for. Golly, Molly, I don't know if I've done y'all any good, but she's broke. She's desperate. Verse 27, one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. Say these one, two, three, four. Say these five words. Now, put up the three unbeliefs, Jamin. I'm gonna help you a little bit. When you get down to number two, wrong doctrine, unbelief, this woman was fortunate enough not to get the wrong doctrine. Now, let me show you why I know that. When she heard about Jesus, oh, thank God, somebody somewhere told somebody the right information about Jesus. He didn't tell that dear woman that had suffered, spent all of her money, was broke. They didn't tell her. Now, listen, you may go down there and you don't ever know what God's going to do. Now, you know, you may go down there, but I'm sure that there's some sin in your life that's going to keep God from doing anything for you. You know, there's no sense going down there because there's going to be a big crowd anyway. And by the way, that won't last anyway. That'll all pass away with the apostles. That's all wrong doctrine. See? Or wait a minute. Honey, you need to glorify God in that sickness. Keep that on you. Get as broke as you can. Get as destitute as you can. Just like I'll share just bits and pieces of this little thing I had. Just like a woman that looked me dead in the eyeballs and tears streaming down her face. And I mean, I don't mean this, Jordan even said I wasn't unkind to her. He said, Dad, you weren't even mean to her. I said, well, she's a tax client too, so, you know. Tears streaming down her face and said, why did God kill my husband with COVID-19 at 51 years of age? And she said it to me, and I said, honey, I said, listen to me. I said, I've never been popular because of what I'm going to tell you. I said, God didn't kill him. I said, God doesn't want 52-year-old men in heaven that have a wife and two kids to take care of. God doesn't need you up in heaven. Don't believe that lie about he needs more angels in heaven. He's got all the angels he'll ever want. Amen. I'm sure some of them are getting on his nerves. Can I get an amen? And I said, listen, what I'm going to tell you, you're not going to like it. But I said, God didn't kill him. God's not in the business of killing, making you a widow. You've been sad for a year and a half. God don't want you sad. She said, well, why did it happen? He's God. He can stop it. Been listening to that for 26 years. They don't understand the principles of God. They don't understand how God works. He could have stopped Adam and Eve, but he didn't. He won't stop you if you want to do what you want to do. And the problem is God has done his part by grace. And I told her, I said, listen, you'd have to sit in here for a week and a half for me to even get you to even get a glimmer of understanding. That's how brainwashed they are. And she's a Christian person, goes to Christian church, listens to a Christian preacher. But I said, what I just do is I said, I got a book I'll buy you called The True Nature of God. I said, I've just got to the point where I said, I'll order that book for you. Would you be interested in reading it? She said, I think I will. So I'm going to order that book, The True Nature of God. Amen. So this woman didn't hear that about Jesus. She heard about Jesus, that he was healing people. Do you know they basically eradicated sickness out of Israel in his ministry? Yeah, you can check it out. There's one event where he comes to minister, and it says he ministered to those who had need of healing. Heck, he'd sent about 70 out to heal everybody they could find. Oh, it got left out of the church. It's left out of most churches. Even the Grace Revolution, a lot of them are scared to talk about healing. Because, see, you talk about healing and somebody dies right in front of you, you get concerned. You know what Andrew Womack does if somebody dies right in front of him? He steps over him and says, next. You know why he does that? Because he don't have a church to pastor. No, he's taking a lot of abuse for that. That's why they don't want to talk about healing, because you can see it. The Lord's just flowing through me. I got to go with it. It's exactly what they said to Jesus when they lowered that fellow down from the roof. Most Christians, when they got there, found out they couldn't get in. They'd have said, well, it just wasn't God's time. Faith is always now. It's not tomorrow. It's not yesterday. It's always now. Now faith is. Them boys said, listen, and I've said this humorously. I don't know for sure, but I wonder if those four boys that brought him were bringing him because they got tired of calling him around. Anyway, they put him up on the roof, lower him down to Jesus, and Jesus says, hey, man, it's a happy day for you. Your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees, and there's a lot of Pharisees in the Christian church. There's a fellow that's on YouTube, and his mission in life is to point out everything wrong with every ministry. Well, heck, you got better things to do than that, don't you? Because I can point out what's wrong in your ministry. Mostly you. I love you with the love of the Lord. Amen. They lower him down. He says, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisee said, man, you can't forgive sins. Who are you doing forgiving sins? He said, let me ask you a question. What's easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to tell that boy, rise, pick up your mat and walk? Well, of course, it's the easiest thing in the world to tell Leslie, I don't know what you did on the Bahama trip, but your sins are forgiven. What's the thing about that? We don't know. I don't know if her sins are forgiven. But if she's got some sickness that's visible, and I lay my hands on it and curse it and command it to leave in Jesus' name, and it don't leave, what do people say? I knew he was fake. Or she's got some sin in her life, or God's going to use it for his glory. No, I'm going to teach you today. And on April the 3rd, I'm going to finish it. And then on April the 10th, we're going to talk about Easter, because I heard we're in Easter season. It's funny, when you're a Christian, Protestant, charismatic, Easter don't mean a thing in the world. Let me take that back. I love the fact that we celebrate Easter. But if you're a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, it's Easter every day. Amen. Every day is Easter. She heard about Jesus. And she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Man alive. Now listen to this. I'm telling you, I had a couple come to this church, and this lady got so mad at me about what I'm getting ready to tell you that they quit coming to church. Do you know that Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man? How many of you know that? Greatest truth. Can you say that enough? Let's just say it. Jesus, you are fully God and fully man. What he humbled himself and did, Philippians chapter 2, what he humbled himself and did is he made himself of no reputation. It says he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and I've got goosebumps right now. Because he said, I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to rescue them rascals. I can't imagine it. I just can't imagine it. I can't imagine it. You talking about a dart gun. If it was me, my dart gun would never quit firing. He said, I'm going down there. I'm going to do it. Nobody else can. If it's possible, he said, let this cup pass from me. But it didn't happen. No, it was silent from heaven. And he stood up and he faced his foes and ran to him and said, I'm ready. When he said, I am, they all fell back and lay prostrate on the ground. But we're too stupid to know God because of that right lying, murdering devil. Oh, what a time it'll be when he's out of here. Anyway, Jesus humbled himself and went into the womb of a woman. Spent 9 months in the womb of a woman and came out, and the Bible says he came out flesh covered. Just like all of us. How many of you remember seeing your babies coming out? Ooh, Lord, I'm trying to forget it. This one here, the one back here, is the most incredible thing I ever saw. The boy came out white, had a little white sheet of something all over him, and he was just laid back like, hey, man, take me to bed. Anna came out with God only knows what on her. I don't know what it was, and she was bawling, and she's been bawling for 22 years. Don't shout me down. He actually went into the womb of Mary and was flesh covered. And so if he's flesh covered, he can only be in one place at one time. If he's flesh covered, I'm going to show you this later, he can get hungry. How many of you found that in the Bible? He got hungry. Well, the fig tree regrets he was hungry. Darn, of all the days to be hungry. How many of you know he got angry? There's a place for righteous anger. None of us have that, so don't try it at home. Don't be telling your spouse, I'm just operating in righteous anger. Get off the bed, you dud. Get in that kitchen and wash those dishes, woman. And go to Fry's and get me some Bluebell ice cream. I'm saying that because that's what was said to me. Oh, I'm having fun because God's good. People, oh, if you just, you see, every now, that's the reason why whatever a true minister of the gospel has to go through, woe be us for complaining. God forgive me for complaining, because that moment right there is worth anything. And that moment right there cannot be bought with any amount of money. You can't buy that. That's a revelation that God exists. That Jesus Christ really and truly was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the thing he sacrificed was he couldn't be everywhere at all times. He had to be wherever he was in that body. And the Holy Spirit anointed him. And he went about doing good. So when this woman, Trey, come on, stand up here a minute. You want, Leslie, you're closer. It won't take very long. Face that way over there. Do you have any idea who touched you?
No.
Now, you're not super Pentecostal and charismatic that God in his spirit told you who it was.
No.
Who was it that touched you?
I don't know.
That's a good. So your first thought wasn't me?
Well, no, because you were saying stand over there, so I don't know.
But because your back's that way, do I know who's touched? Do you know who's touching me?
No.
They got all mad at me. You can be seated. Thank you. It was Donnie. You know they got all mad at me, Al, because I claimed that Jesus didn't know who touched him. Boy, that's a nitpicking thing to get mad about anyway. Of course, it was about other things that we've already mentioned. Amen. Came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Verse 27, the key to this verse is she heard the right thing about Jesus. Amen. Say that with me. She heard the right thing about Jesus. It's our responsibility to do something about making sure our children hear the right thing. I have to repent of that. I yielded on that. I didn't do that. Now, they got to come to church every Sunday and hear me teach and preach, but, you know, and that's a good thing. But it's up to us to put the right stuff in our kids. Amen? That's why the public school system is appalling. Don't shout me down now, because I'm preaching real good. She heard the right thing about Jesus, and she touched the hem of his garment. Now, she tells you in verse 28 why she touched it. Verse 28. For she said, faith is voice activated. If you're going to stay silent and only think things, you won't get what you need. You have to confess what you know. You have to confess what you believe. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, confession is made unto salvation. But with the mouth, confession is made unto righteousness. I misquoted that a little bit, but you get the gist of it. Teresa's always the misquote judge. You need to join that guy on YouTube. See, he didn't say that right. Okay. All right, I'm kidding. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Oh, my. Now, here's the key. Remember last week, I'm at the gas station. I got my debit card. I need gas in my car. I got to put the debit card in the machine and pump the gas. You can say something till you're blue in the face, but sooner or later, listen to me, and this is again, has anybody kept track of reasons that people quit coming? I know I said at least three. Reason number four, what happens to us is more about us than it is God. She said, see, and then this phrase right here. And by the way, if you think that I am trying to imply that I have a PhD on this subject and that I walk in this flawlessly, then I like to make sure you know I'm not. But you have to teach everything to everybody, including yourself. And so people get so annoyed when you tell them that not only do you have to say what you believe, but sooner or later your actions have to back up what you've been saying. Amen. See, I'll tell you one. We got time for a few stories. I got the flu one time real bad. Well, no, let me rephrase it. I got the first signs of a flu, or, you know, whatever, cold, flu, chills, runny nose, maybe a fever. And you know what I did in my mind? Because I forget the circumstances, but I said, you know, it wouldn't be bad just to lay around a day or two. Don't shout me down now because I'm telling them the true story. I said, you know, it wouldn't be bad for me just to lay around a day or two. You know, I work so hard. And I do in March and April, by the way. I make no apologies for March and April. But I said, you know, it wouldn't hurt me. I just think I'll just lay around a day or two. You know, I got so sick with the flu, I like to never got out of bed. Because you have what you say. Because sooner or later, what you say becomes reality in your life. Jesus says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I like to say it like this. On the golf course, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speaketh. Yesterday I was a saint. I was Saint Mark because I shot a low score and won the tournament. The true test is when you shoot 100 and finish last. That's when you wonder, do you say hallelujah? I even minister a little bit to those guys. Talked about Jesus a little. Got some stuff in there. Okay? In between their shots of whatever they were doing. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Faith is voice activated, but faith, sooner or later, has to do what it says it's going to do. And if you want to get what the people in the Bible got, you got to do what the people in the Bible did. So she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Now, if she'd have just said it and never touched it, she'd have never got it. I'm hoping that you understand some things here. Anyway, just to finish up my flu story, now anytime I get a symptom of flu, I immediately begin the rebuke. I don't play with that. I immediately tell that thing, now wait a minute now, whoa. By the way, we have an unwritten rule in our office from February the 1st till April the 18th, no sickness is allowed by any employee. Just whatever it is, cover it up. Come on in. Everything will be okay. One year, I swear, one tax season, both of them got some symptoms, and I did too. And I mean, we went around for about 4 days not talking to anybody. We didn't talk to each other at all. And then, you know, we'd have to come around to the client and go, we go back. Is that how it works, Jordan? By the way, you know the code of the Mark C. Browning office. What happens in that office stays in that office. She did what she said. She touched the hem of his garment. She said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, she said, she didn't say, maybe I'd get well. Oh, the famous words of the Protestant church. She didn't say, I hope I get better. She said, she didn't say, y'all just keep on praying. Maybe if I hit that right person's prayer, that, you know, maybe if he prays, it'll work. No, that ain't. That's not how petition prayer works. Sooner or later, you got to believe you receive when you pray. And then you got to go act like you believed you received when you prayed. Amen? This is not embraced. And again, all this stuff that's done is done because of God's grace. But even though it's not embraced, it's the reality. Anybody ever bought anything that came with instructions? Anybody? Anybody bought anything recently that came with instructions? Now, there's something about a man, and I'm a full man now. I'm not going that other side. But I'm telling you, behavior-wise, I act a lot more like a woman sometimes. But you know what? I don't lay in bed and think I ought to have everything cut off. Oh, Lord, no, I don't think that. I thank God I got everything I got. Can you say amen? How's this fitting into what I'm getting ready to tell you? Most men, they won't read the instructions when they got to put something together. Am I right about that? Just like in the day, you couldn't, if before the days of, by the way, we live in the greatest, it's the best of times and the worst of times. But remember in the day, you couldn't get anybody to look at a map. Oh, I know where I'm going. You know, and then you end up 8 miles off track. Amen. But if you don't follow the instructions, most of the time it don't work for you. Didn't you put something together just recently? If you don't follow the instructions, you don't get what you need. And see, I'm not going to get to it today. I already tell you that. You got to come back for the instructions. That's what I'm going to share in number 3. And on April the 3rd, I'm going to share the instructions. I got to get this woman healed. I can't leave her sick. Right? This is how it works. Somebody said, well, I don't want it to work that way. Well, you're not God. See, God is a faith God. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. It's impossible, Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God without faith. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's going to make it tough on you. Some people want that. That they believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The instructions are given in Mark chapter 11. The instructions are, whatever it is you ask me for, you got to believe you got it. This dear brother told that to me here recently. Told that to me. Had the courage to tell that to me. He said, don't pray one more. You got it. Boy, I didn't feel like I got it. And I let the devil hoodwink me for a day or two. But sooner or later, you got to get out of bed. Say that with me. Sooner or later, you got to get out of bed. Don't shout me down now. If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Verse 29. Immediately. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she didn't have any barriers to cross. Jesus Christ was standing right there in front of her with the Holy Spirit operating in him with full measure. All the throttles were always on Jesus. Amen. You didn't have to wonder about it. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. She felt it. She knew she was healed. Don't you know that was a happy moment for her? 12 years of suffering broke. Now she's happy. Now she can go back to work.
Thank you, Jesus.
Can I tell one other story? You know, I had a lady that told me that she knew that it was God's will for her to be healed, and she knew that if I operated the things I was talking about, she'd be healed. And you know what she told me? She said, I don't want to receive it because I don't want to give up my Social Security. Again, I could tell y'all stories like this until you would say, Mark, how in the world did you survive it?
I don't know.
No. What did I tell you? No whining here. You get the opportunity to stand up and preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ under his anointing. Amen. Nobody can give you that. You can't get that from nobody. I keep forgetting what I'm going to talk about, though, because the Holy Spirit comes on me. Oh, what? The Holy Spirit told me something. Praise God, y'all. Help me. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. She didn't have to wait at any length of time to get her manifestation because she was ministered to by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, let me say this. Lord wants me to say this. Don't think, though. See, don't let the devil talk you out of that. Because if you're under the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and you minister, Jesus is ministering. Amen. Problem is, we can't get people to think like that. We can't. Most of them are just bound up with that wrong doctrine, you know, and you can't overwhelm. You know, you just can't. I don't know if I got through to that woman or not. But I'll tell you this about that story. It's not bringing her any comfort for her to think that God killed her husband. In fact, she told me, I said, let me ask you a question. I said, I'm guessing you're having a hard time praying to God. I said, because I can't imagine wanting to pray to somebody that you thought killed your husband. It'd be hard on me if I found out somebody hurt one of my kids or my wife, and I was expected to be nice to them, be hard on me. I said, I'm guessing that you're having a hard time praying to God. She said, yeah, I am. I'm mad at him. I said, now think about it. Just think for just a minute. I said, how twisted can that be? How wrong is that theology when your theology makes you run away from God instead of running to God? See, when I get in a crisis, and I've been in crisis, I don't run from God, I run to him. And God, the tragedy is it takes a crisis sometime to run to him. And I run to him because I know he's the deliverer, he's the savior, he's the healer, he's the giver of the Holy Spirit, he's the meter of all our needs. In him we live and move and have our being. See the difference? I said, she said, you know, that does make a little sense. I said, it makes a lot of sense. Amen. Verse 30, this woman with the issue of blood always makes me go long, because it's one of the greatest stories in the Bible, and it's a model for everybody to follow if you want to get what you need from God. Amen. It's a model. If you want what the people in the Bible got, you got to do what the people in the Bible did. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" That lady got all mad because I claimed that Jesus didn't know who touched his clothes. Well, I'm only taking it from him. He wanted to know who touched his clothes. Does that make him any less God? No, it means that the God that he is was cloaked in flesh, and as long as he had that flesh, he was limited by what he could see back. Unless the Holy Spirit told him, just like all of us. Just like he was hungry, just like he was angry, just like he was weary from a journey. Verse 31, but his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude." Oh man, there's a whole bunch of people there. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. There's a whole bunch of people there, but how many people got their name in the Bible? How many people's got their name in the Bible for all of eternity? That book will be in heaven throughout all eternity because it's God in the written form. The multitude didn't. I can teach about that, but I don't have time. The multitude didn't. But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" Verse 32, and he looked around to see her who had done this thing. Verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. In verse 35, he says, "How dare you interrupt my walk? I'm on my way to get crucified. How dare you bother me?" Verse 34, what's he say to her? Some of the other translations are even better. And some of the other gospel writers say, "Be of good cheer." And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith." Whose faith? "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." See what happened to a person that got acclimated to the right doctrine and then overcame unbelief and pressed in and got what she needed from God. Now, a lot of times people hear this, and I've had a lot of people on the front end get really excited about it because it is pretty good news to find out that there are some things you can change. But I have to come back with a little bit of reality, and that is this: if you're going to overcome natural unbelief, you're going to have to spend more time with the things of God than you do the things of the world. I'm going to go back to verse 25 real quick, verse 25 real quick. I know I got to quit, but I got to tell you this. I didn't point this out. Did you know for that woman to be there, I believe under Jewish law, I believe it was a crime. She was unclean. Reason number five of why people have tended to shy away from us. Reason number five. Sooner or later, you're going to have to quit worrying about what people think. People's going to try to talk you out of some things when you're talking about the power of God, because the devil don't want the power of God manifested. But sooner or later, see, this woman had got so desperate that she didn't care if she got arrested. What did it matter? She was broke anyway. Condemned to a life of sickness. Didn't matter. She didn't care what people thought. Amen? And so, to overcome natural unbelief, you've got to, verse 27, let's bring it, let's don't just make this a story in the Bible. We got to do what they did. We've got to make it a priority to hear the right thing about Jesus. We got to make it a priority. We can't say, I don't matter. What time's gun smoke on? I don't, gun smoke hadn't been on for 30 years, but it comes into my head. What's something else that's on?
Yellowstone.
Amen. Sooner or later, you got to make a conscious effort and a conscious decision that you're going to fill your mind up with things about Jesus. For as a man thinketh, so is he. See, your heart starts with your mind. Your heart starts with your mind. You know, everything has to go filter through this mind. Now, revelation doesn't seem like it's hitting the mind. It seems like it's going right to the heart, but it went through there. Okay? And so, sooner or later, you're going to have to get your mind to a place where it thinks more about the things of God and the things of Jesus than it does the things of the world. That's exactly what causes people not to overcome natural unbelief. Instead of seeing what God says, they see what the circumstance say. And again, part of me doesn't even want to teach this. Part of me doesn't even want to teach this because of the difficulty of what I just said to you. Because I'm telling you, I've been around Christians my whole life. I'm one of them. Every one of us can tell us about the latest movie out. And I don't mean every one of us. And listen, I want to apologize too. Sometimes I've said in my sermons that it's our fault that Joe Biden's president. I don't mean you guys in particular. I mean the general overall body of Christ. If we were true believers in Christ, we would vote for people that lined up with Christian principles. And that man doesn't line up with Christian principles. He's a corrupt, crooked politician. Don't shout me down. I got that in too. Amen? But that's why it's so difficult, because this is not something you're going to be able to do casually. You can't just pull out a verse from the Daily Bread, read it, and then go live your life and expect for the supernatural to follow you. I think it's my obligation to say those things, and I don't know if I said them enough in the past, but I hope everybody understands that I'm saying them as more to me probably than to you. But you got to hear about Jesus. You got to hear the right thing. If you're struggling with sickness and disease, you don't want to hang around somebody that's telling you God made you sick. You want to hang around somebody that's telling you God wants you well.
Amen.
If you're broke, you don't want to go hang around the people that are lost all their money in those banks. You want to hang around with me. Don't shout me down now. Amen? You got to hear about Jesus. And then when you hear about Jesus, you got to say what you believe about Jesus. And then what you say you believe about Jesus, you got to act like that's exactly what you believe. And then when you get the manifestation, this is exactly what the woman with the issue of blood did. When you get the manifestation, then you have to have the courage to testify about it. Oh, I got a great story to tell on that. Don't have time. Don't have time. Can't do it today, but you got to testify to the goodness of God. And it's easy as pie. If I ask every one of you, are you saved right now? Every hand in the building goes up. And even in front of other people, I think you'd tell people you're saved. But you're reluctant to say the other things because you're walking by sight and not by faith. Amen? But say the other things. How are you? I'm blessed. Been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Again, don't browbeat people. I'm talking about just manifesting the grace of God. The Bible says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. And Jesus is grace. Amen? Amen. And so, and then I'm quitting right here. I mean it. Don't wait till you get diagnosed with terminal cancer to see if these principles are working. These are the laws of faith I'm giving you. Don't wait for that. If you get a headache, use this and see if you can overcome a headache. Amen? See what I'm saying? Don't wait. Because if you wait too late, your heart may never get soft enough to receive. Because it's with the heart one believes. Hallelujah, glory to God. That was a psalm. That was a psalm. Sooner or later, you're going to receive what your heart believes. It's what you're going to get. And see, we found out, let me bring some closure about the guy that died of COVID. We found out in the conversation that COVID didn't really kill him. He had an undiagnosed bad heart condition. So that's why you can't always receive stuff face value from people and say, well, this happened and it happened and that happened. You need to find out the whole story. Can I get an amen? Are you happy? Are you glad you've sat under this Bible lesson, Faith Reminders? I can tell that you understand some things and see some things. Amen? And it's explained in a way that you can understand it. The trick is hanging on to it. Can I get an amen? Stand up, I'll keep talking. The trick is hanging on to it. Am I right or wrong?
Right.
The trick's hanging on to it. Man, oh man, the Lord just... Did I say that verse in... hang on. Yes, Father. Listen by the Spirit of God. Listen. When my servant, my son, said, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, he talked about words of grace. My children, I need you to understand and know that when you speak sickness, when you speak poverty, when you speak doubt, when you speak hate, those are corrupt words. Those are corrupt words to me. Let healing be in your mouth. Let love be in your mouth. Let joy be in your mouth. Because the God in you is greater than the devil that's in the world. And death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that understand that and realize that experience the blessing of faith.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Woo, man.
Amen.
Man, we need to write that down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saying that to us and blessing us this morning. Amen. Anytime something like that happens, I just want to confess all my sins. I'm sorry. Praise God. You're good. Your mercy endures forever. Amen. If you've been listening by radio or internet and you haven't received Jesus as Lord and Savior, don't be stupid any longer. Receive the Lord while it's still time. Anybody that's clear-eyed can think, can see that this world is going to hell in a handbasket. Get saved. Get into the glory of God. Get in on this now. And do it simply by receiving Jesus. Say this with me. I've heard about Jesus. And I'm going to do what the Word says.
And
I'm going to
receive Him.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
By faith.
I receive
Jesus Christ
as
my Lord. And
by faith,
I say right now,
I am
a child of God.
In
Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen. Get your hands on a Bible if you can. Our website is lifeinchristchurch.net. All my sermons are on that website. If you need this lesson sheet, you can download it. We have an email address. If you really and truly don't have a Bible, email us. We'll get you one. Amen. Let us know you're listening. Amen. LifeInChristChurch.net. It's in the Holy... Listen, Al's going to be here next Sunday, right here, live and in person. And I know he had some things to share along that line, but I knew I was going to get long on a woman with the issue of blood. Amen. So, Father, we give you the glory, honor, and praise in the holy and mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said...
Amen.